Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. I've got three amazing men with me. Dr. Ron Archer is with us, and he is the author of What Belief Can Do. Ron, welcome.
Well, thank you, Steve. So happy to be on the team.
I'm going to ask you about that book in just a second. And then Chris Williams is here, and Chris and I do Finding Freedom together. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how's it going today?
Really, really well. Good. And then Milan Yurkovich is here. He is the co-author of How We Love With His Wife. And, of course, he saved my life. So, Milan, good to be with you today.
Steve, thank you so much. And it's a pleasure to be with all of you.
So let's, Ron, talk to us about what belief can do. So here's an amazing question.
Yes.
What can belief do?
It can change everything about you from now into the next generation. My family was atheist. Can you imagine that, growing up
No.
with atheist grandparents, atheist parents, living in the ghetto of Cleveland. Everybody's doing drugs and prostitution, and I mean, horrific. And I was the first one at age 12 to get saved in my
Wow.
family. And I believed the Word of God, that God could change my family. And I began to witness to them through my life, not through my mouth, but to live a certain way in academics. And before I knew it, my mom, who was a call girl, had me when she was 14 and came to my church, heard me preach on the rehab of Rahab, and gave her life to Christ. And
wow.
she was a type A personality. So once she got saved, everybody got saved. Now we have a van that picks up people. You know, it was so funny. When the first people started coming to the church to get saved through our ministry, they were prostitutes and drug addicts. And my deacon said, "Pastor, we have to get a dress code." The congregation is changing. And now we have 53 churches planted, been an advisor all over the world on African issues. And so I know what belief can do. And I say it to you, the Lord says, "I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, and offer you a hope and a future." You got to believe.
Well, Ron, it's just when I hear you speak, it's no wonder that my wife is trying to organize the Dr. Ron Archer for President movement here, and I'll have to sign up. But we're really glad that you're with us here. And just a quick question. This is maybe a stupid question, but why do you think your family was so committed to atheism? What was the source of that? Or
great question. My grandmother is white. My grandfather is a black Cuban. They met in Cleveland, Ohio, and they got married. And my grandfather heard a guy come up to them and call his wife a nigger lover, basically.
Oh, boy.
And he broke the man's neck with one punch, went to jail. My grandmother's father came to my grandmother and said, "If you leave your children behind and come with me, no one needs to know your shame." And he quoted the Bible and said, "You know why all this happened to you? She got cancer." He said, "Because what does life have to do with darkness? That by marrying somebody out of your race, you committed a sin."
Wow.
So when the grandkids heard that, and they all just said, "Forget," because he was a very religious guy. And they said, "If this is the kind of God you serve, we don't want anything to do with it." They became homeless and all that. So the pain, the tragedy created their sense of, if there is a God, he missed our house.
Wow. It also speaks to what false belief can do to you as well.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Good term of phrase.
That's right. Well, and you just have to wonder, how many other stories like that, where the faith is toxic?
Yes.
And then people turn away from God. Thanks for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Ron and I are working on a little book together. It's Not Always Black and White.
Ooh,
is the title of
that
book.
I like that.
And we'll tell you more about that when it gets completed. But we are really excited to help make a difference. It's all about just going deeper inside of your heart. Any kind of prejudice or any kind of just a bad attitude,
yeah,
we go deeper, try to clean it up. We'll be back right after this with more New Life Live.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. I want to mention July 24th, Focus on the Family, re-airing that program on A Man's Perspective on Life. I am unashamedly pro-life. I mean, God creates
Amen,
life.
Brother.
So why wouldn't you be for God creating life? And, you know, the sad thing is, while we're on this program, about 52 babies will be killed in the mother's womb just in 1 hour here in the United
Mercy.
States of America. What a sad, sad thing. And, you know, when we see people saying Black Lives Matter, really underneath that is,
yes,
is an organization. But if Black Lives really matter,
come on now,
boy, you would think that somebody would take a stand on how many Black lives are being aborted.
Can I say this to you?
Yeah.
You know, in the African-American community, Black women make up 7% of the population and yet are having 40% of the abortions.
It's horrible.
They tried to abort me 3 times in my mother's womb, so it's personal for me. I stand with you on that.
Yeah. Now, wasn't it you that were telling me, or someone was telling me, that the founder of Planned Parenthood actually was pretty racist?
Margaret Sanger wanted to get rid of Black people. So this one of her goals was to build her Planned Parenthood clinics in Black communities to get rid of what she called the undesirables. So this is eugenics and this is genocide. And we're playing right into what the politics that supports this nonsense.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
That's absolutely true.
Come on now, preach it.
Well, people don't know that story. And
yep,
often people don't know the roots of some of these movements. And that's a tragic truth that everybody needs to know.
Even Black Lives Matter is founded by a Marxist group.
That's right.
My program is Your Life Matters.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that I talk to, your life matters so much that God gave up his to save yours.
Right.
Amen. I'll go with that. Well, we do believe that Black lives matter,
right,
a
of
lot.
Yes.
But by pointing that out, you could be viewed as supporting the folks behind the slogan,
yes,
versus the sentiment. And boy, we, you know, I tell you, I am seeing for the first time progress,
yes,
in many people that were resistant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen people go beyond, well, I'm saying I'm not a racist, to really starting to look at some of the inequalities,
sure,
that are there. And, you know, I think even though it feels horrible, I think we're going to have a change. I mean, look at the Redskins are changing,
yeah,
their
right,
name.
Right, right, right.
The Confederate flag comes, mm-hmm, off of the flag of Mississippi. Those things never happened before. So
yes,
if people will just get involved with what is positive about all of this horrible,
amen,
stuff, we're really going to see some great changes. All right, let's go to the phones. And how about we talk with Michelle? WEGS is the station. Hi, Michelle. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What could we help you with today? How could we help?
Well, my husband and I have been married 33 years, and we've had ups and downs. And 2 years ago, he told me that he wouldn't go to counseling. I asked him if he would. He wouldn't, or he divorced me before he went to counseling. And, you know, I went to counseling, and he did not know, you know, because I knew I needed it. And, you know, he still won't go, or he won't do anything. He won't go to a New Life weekend or anything with me. You know, he's just, my kids aren't home anymore, and he's on the chair most of the time.
So what is the question for us today?
How can I get him to go with me or do something with me to help, you know, us, because I'm not happy.
Yeah. Right.
Michelle, you said that he doesn't get off the couch or the chair, that he's
When he's home, he's in front of the TV, on the chair, the couch. We used to walk every now and then, get some exercise, and, you know, but he's there, and he wants to be there with him, on his world. He has nothing else at work in me, and maybe my son.
Here's the good news. Here's the good news. I believe you actually have a lot more power than you're giving yourself credit for. Now, he is going to be resistant. And let me tell you what the number one resistance is to counseling or working on ourselves. Is I believe we intuitively know that if we're going to work on ourselves, we're going to have to touch the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us are resistant to touching the pain that is within us. And most likely, it is that pain that drives him to have this small life of work and just and then kind of hoarding you when he's home. And I think that if you're going to have to kind of, you know, fight for your freedom here, meaning that you're going to have to be like, no, the way you're interacting doesn't work for me. And if you are his life, it will be a struggle, but eventually you're going to leave him no choice but to join you in your growth. But what you're going to have to do is unhook from enabling his sort of sedentary or passive lifestyle. And say, no, this passive lifestyle doesn't work for me. I'm unhappy. If you love me and you want me to be happy, or as you love me and want me to be happy, join me here and I will be with you. And ask him, what is he afraid of?
Well, that's what I was thinking.
Well,
and the other thing is maybe rather than saying, I want you to start going to counseling with me, it might be, would you be willing just to go one time to see what it's like, and just go one time. Be willing to talk to a person or just see how that person talks to me rather than say, no, don't I mean enough to you that you would experiment with it one time? Ron, get some thoughts, Myla?
Yeah, one thing, one of the quotes I use in our ministry is, you can lead a horse to water, and you can't make them drink, but you can make them thirsty. And your life transformation, you working on you, because all we can ever do really is change ourselves. And by changing ourselves, becoming better, that can create some thirst. And by the way, just a quick question. How old is your husband?
53.
Yeah, you know what? He may want to get at some point his testosterone checked as well. Because once you get past 50, your testosterone can really drop, and that can make you lethargic, and you lose your energy. So there's, you know, men have menopause too in our own way. You know, I'm 57, so I know that can tend to happen. You can lose some of that vigor. So, but you know what? You work on you, and you become a magnet, and he'll see your change, and he may get thirsty.
Yeah, Mylon, I have a thought here, because I really want to, I think so many folks are not like us. They don't believe in counseling. They don't want to do it. I think they're afraid of something. What do you think is the best hope sometimes for getting a resistant person to counseling?
Well, personally, I think that this upcoming Zoom event that we have is a great opportunity to expose him to something.
Yeah.
Number one, he's going to hear things he's never heard before, but and he'll be able to be around two funny guys. You know, I've told Kay she has to laugh at all my jokes since there isn't an audience there. You know, so
right.
But I would just say, hey, here's what I'm doing next Saturday. I'd love for you to join me for 1 hour of that. And just listen in, and invite him that way. It's non-threatening. It's not called counseling. It's something that would allow him to see there is more depth to life than what he's experiencing, and maybe that would help make him more thirsty. To Ron's point,
There's so many folks missing out, unwilling to just look at a couple of things, and I just would hope and pray. This little approach of, hey, why don't you just tune in and listen, watch for 1 hour. Maybe that's the best way to go. And anybody interested, you know, just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's not this Saturday. This Saturday is Every Man's Battle. Next Saturday, Intimacy in Marriage. And we have literally seen so many of these marriages turn around that people thought were dead forever. And that could be you. So 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Get involved with that. I would love to see that happen. Let's go to Jane. Jane's calling us from Memphis, and she listens on the New Life app. Hi, Jane. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, my husband is a drug addict. He's in active addiction right now. I've known him a little bit over almost 20 years, and we got married last year. He just got out of rehab, and, you know, I thought things were going to be better, but now he's using every payday. His money is going towards the drugs. He'll give me a little bit for the household, but most of it is going towards the drugs. My question is, what do I do about boundaries? I know when we were dating, I could set boundaries like, you know, you couldn't come over. I wasn't going to see you until you get help. Now I'm just, I don't know that we're married, how to set boundaries. And he did say this weekend, because he had a bad, he got paid Friday, and of course today he's broke. But he said he was going to start going to meetings again. But I don't know. You know, he said it before, so I don't know. So
okay, we want to help you with that. And then I've got a comment about when folks come out of treatment. So, Mylon, can you help us here? Boundaries. She's married, doesn't think she can have the same boundaries that she had when they were dating for 19 years. Amazing.
Jane, marriage is not
the issue with the drug.
Jane, marriage is not a trap.
Yes.
Marriage is not a trap. In other words, because you're married doesn't mean you can't do things that are called boundaries. To say, here are my requirements for spending time with you. And if you were in my office, I'd ask a whole another set of questions as well. But you walked into this a year ago when he was right out of rehab, and you had a faith level in what happened that hasn't proved to be realistic, or your expectations are certainly disappointed. I firmly believe in separating from someone for the purpose of inviting them back. To say to the person, I'm not going to stay here anymore because you've proven yourself irresponsible. I love you, but if you want to have me back, you'll have to change your life. And I'm not saying to divorce him per se. All I'm saying is you do not have to stay there. And one of the things you're going to have to do is figure out, how do I do that? But I would find a support group. I would find people that could encourage you and provide a place that's safe for you to go, where you have provision. And
okay, the problem is that he came into my home. You know, this is my home.
Well, then I guess he has to leave, because if that is your home, he is taking advantage of you, and he's treating you in a way that is absolutely unacceptable. You don't deserve to be, you know, treated like that, Jane.
And it sounds like to me that he may have married you thinking that once you're married that you're locked into him. And I'm just curious, why after all that time did you finally marry him? What was that all about?
Well, I was just ready. You know, I was before I had questions, but I was just ready. You know, just we went one day to the courthouse and got married. You know, we did it.
Yeah.
I didn't even discuss it with my friends or family. It's just like
they might have had a different direction for you to go if you had discussed it with friends and family. And you know, here's the thing: have you talked to the people at the program where he was getting sober?
Yes, when he was in the program, you know, they talked. Yeah, I mean, he was doing well. I mean, it just seemed like, and this is not the first program he was in. You know, he's been at several, you know, since I've known him.
People do well in a program, but when they get out,
right,
if they're not going to meetings, having a sponsor, and working the steps, then they're already in relapse. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
Some people, they're doing all that, and then they quit. Nobody says, hey, wait a second. You just relapsed. You're not doing the stuff that got you better. So I think it is time for an ultimatum. People say, well, I can't throw him out on the street. Don't. Put him in the front yard. Put him on the driveway. Put him on the front porch. But it's time to set the boundary that you're questioning. That this is not acceptable. This is not honoring of God. You can't live. I'm not going to provide you the conveniences of marriage if you're going to be married to a drug. We'll be back after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Well, during the break, we've had many, many comments about this, and I don't know who wants to just share a little bit of what we were talking about there. Ron, why don't you...
Yeah, in our ministry, in the black community, one of the things we notice is that mothers tend to raise their daughters and spoil and protect their sons. Mm. So the daughter has to do good in school. She has to have chores. She must dress properly. Well, the boy's allowed to do kind of whatever he wants, no expectations. And then that transfer into the marital relationship where the wife is, again, the mommy, and the husband is kind of like the boy, and he wants to keep doing what he wants to do. And at some point, I tell African-American women, you are a queen. And anybody that wants to get close to you must understand it is a privilege. You cannot allow any kind of behavior, dysfunctionality, disrespect to come into your home and infect your space with that kind of negativity. Sometimes the only way that certain men learn is through pain, experiencing the reality of their behavior. And you can't keep enable of them. Raise your daughters and your sons and your husbands and hold them accountable.
Yeah, and you know, to provide all the conveniences, meals, cleaning, all this stuff, and then to be available sexually, and then he's just off there not going to a meeting, doing drugs, spending the money that he's working for. And my wife and I are talking about the sexual intimacy being so sacred.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it just becomes a source of relief or release, and a woman feels used in situations like this. So you really do have the right to set a boundary.
Yes.
And I hope and pray that you'll do that. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, we want to help you. We've got this great Everyman's Battle coming up. We were talking about maybe it's most likely he's also involved with a little bit of sexual compulsivity along with this. And then, you know, we've got Intimacy in Marriage the week after that on the 25th of July. I hope you could join us for these. They're really, really quite powerful. Let's go to May from Washington, D.C. WAVA is the station. Hi, May. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you.
How could we help?
Well, I'm trying to get some help or see what I can do to help a mentally ill adult child. She is 42 and lost a marriage, and as a result, she just hit rock. Well, apparently she hasn't hit rock bottom, but she is suffering from PTSD, bipolar, I believe, and depression. She doesn't live with me anymore. She lives alone. She has lost her children due to the mental illness. The husband has
so
the
sad.
Children, thank God. Yeah, and for example, we just don't know how to help her. She's been in and out of hospitals. She's been on meds. And, you know, I live in D.C., so she's in another state, and I don't know what's going on. She just have run, chased all the family away through, you know, really bad language. And just it's just a mess. On this 4th of July, she texts her 15-year-old son with her holding a gun, saying she was going to kill herself.
Oh, my gosh.
The 15-year-old son then the children got together and called their dad. And the next thing you know, we were getting a phone call with everybody crying. And then, lo and behold, she had sent me the same email saying that she was going to kill herself. We called the police, crisis center. They went over. She's very smart, very educated. And they went over to do a wellness check and said they didn't detect mental illness. I don't know what else to do at this point. I was so afraid to have the cops go over because with all the shootings now, I knew if she offered any type of resistance, what could happen. And we just didn't know what to do. Go ahead.
So is the question what to do now? How can you help her?
How can we help her? Is there anything I can do?
Well, first thing I would do is I would help the kids. And I would be sure that the kids are getting some kind of counseling because this is horrific. And the second thing I would do is I would destroy her ability to contact the kids whenever she wants to. So that might mean changing their phone numbers or whatever. But this should be the last time that she texts a 15-year-old holding a gun to her head. That should not be allowed. So whatever it takes, you want to protect them because they're counting on you and they can't protect themselves. So that'd be the first thing. Kids, get some counseling and maybe help them pay for the counseling. We can try to find a great clinician for you. We have a lot in that area. But when it comes to her, Chris, you want to start us off here? How did the mom help this daughter who's out of control?
Steve, I just got to reiterate what you said. We got to help the people that can be helped first. And the ones that are most helpless, and that is the children. We've got to protect them because they're being traumatized by their mom's behavior. There is nothing more that I've seen more difficult than severe mental illness. We can't make a person who fundamentally doesn't want it to get help. So we must set proper boundaries around it. I want you to not give up. Pray for her. Even reach out to her. But also, you need to protect yourself and others from her erratic behavior. We're going to a break right now, and we'll come back right after this to give a little bit more on what that looks like.
We'll be back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the Transformation Welcome Gift, which includes a personal-sized Life Recovery Bible, a Life Recovery Journal, and 5 Life Recovery Workbooks. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life Video Library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterman here. Chris, you were talking about helping someone who is really out of control, emotionally damaged, mentally ill, you might even say.
Yeah, it's one of our great societal challenges because it's, you know, on very, very rare occasions, we can't make a person get the help that they so desperately need. And yet, Ron, you were mentioning, I want you to follow up with that as well, that so what we need to do is we need to protect and nurture ourselves in the chaos that is around us. But one of the things that I've really come across that has been very helpful for a lot of people is something called NAMI. It's the National Alliance of Mental Illness. And this is an organization that provides a lot of support group networks, especially online support group networks for family members who are struggling with a loved one with severe mental illness. And so being able to connect with other people and who may give great feedback and great advice on things that have worked for them, I think it's really important during this.
Yeah, I also believe in resiliency quotient development, that you need to focus on your spiritual development, on your time with God, on your building up your psychological immunity system so that you are strong and that you are healthy, because we can give so much out trying to put out these fires that we can become self-destructive. So I want you to love you and spend more time in meditation and prayer and become stronger for yourself.
All right, I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back. I hope that's going to be a big help to you there. I think it will. And, you know, the stronger we are, the more we can endure, and then the wiser the decision that we can make. But I love what Chris is saying. Get support for you.
Steve,
let's go to Ron.
Steve,
yeah. Yes, Mylon.
I really need to say something here.
Okay, good.
I have children. I just want to tell you, I have children 42 years old.
Yeah.
I have a 44-year-old daughter. And if this was me and I were in your shoes, I would be in such turmoil because I raised that little girl through adolescence, through childhood adolescence, and then into adulthood. And then I think my heart would be broken beyond measure. And May, you need to – one of the ways we become resilient, as was being talked about, we have to learn to grieve in a safe place. We have to go to grief recovery. We have to be able to have all the emotions that go along with loss, which includes anger and bewilderment and fear and grief. And we have to be able to cry. And then we just need support for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of this process. And I just want you to know I hear that. And I just – that would be where I would recommend you, in addition to what everybody else has said – you really need to be able to cry and find a place to do that.
Hmm. You know, there's so much hope with the right kind of medication and treatment, and that's what is kind of frustrating here. There is tremendous hope. All right, let's go to Ronnie from Alexandria, and she listens online. How can we help you today?
Hello, Ben. Everything is good. I hope everybody's good. I just want to ask you about a dear friend of mine. I have a friend, female friend, lovely Christian woman. We've been knowing each other for years. Her husband left her last year to go live with another woman that she did not know about. They were having some problems in their marriage, but she didn't know it was going to involve another person.
Yeah.
They've been in communication throughout the whole time. He'll call or text her periodically, pretty much every day. The part that saddens me, and I need your help, is, you know, she says things like, you know, she let him know the door is open, come on back, you can come, you know, anytime. But she won't get counseling herself. He didn't want counseling before he left. And if he comes back, she's just going to let him come back. And I guess I want to know, how can I help her? Because, as I said, she won't go to counseling.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, you know what? I don't think you can help her. Because she is in this kind of learned, helpless state. And what I would be encouraging any woman to do when a husband is living with someone else, I would at least be getting a legal separation where I would be entitled to the finances that he's trying to avoid having to share with her. That'd be the first thing. But these are the kind of situations where she's enabling evil to continue. She's complicit with this, and I just hate it for her. Mylon, your thoughts here about a situation like this where he can just come right back in and pick up where he left off.
Well, Ronnie, thank you for your concern for your friend. I love your heart for this. Ronnie, I would suggest to your friend that she has learned to tolerate the intolerable and that she has probably learned to tolerate the intolerable before she ever got married. That somehow in her history, she may have had a very chaotic, disorganized home, a lot of pain, and she learned just to fold underneath it and not be strong with it, just to fold underneath the pain. And so people who tolerate the intolerable in their adult present-day lives typically have been doing that for a long time. That's not new to them. And so I would suggest that you may want to ask her that question. Who else has treated you in a manner like this that you simply folded and accepted it and believed? As Steve said, you're helpless to change it. Because when we understand then that the way we're behaving now has a historical root system to it, we can begin to grow if we will accept that fact. But that would be the first place I would go, Ronnie, just to ask her that question in a loving way. Where have you done this before, to tolerate the intolerable?
And just to know that passivity, to say this, or being passive in these situations, you cease to exist.
Yes.
In his mind, I wouldn't even allow him the comfort of staying in touch with you. Everything she's doing is going against reconciliation, which is what we want to see, and she'd have to get out of the passive role for that to really
have
some chance.
Well, it's a victim role, Steve.
Yeah.
She's behaving like a victim, but that's not new.
And Ronnie, you be careful, because you can jump so far into this that typically sometimes people can come back and they both get together and attack you for interfering. Mm. So you have to kind of know how to navigate your way through that, because when you go into couples and you start to get involved in labeling and saying he's no good, whatever it may be you may be doing, with good intentions, they can turn both barrels on you and shoot the messenger.
Right. Mm-hmm. And this, Ron, to that point, I mean, just to even ask the person, her friend, for permission to ask her a question.
Yes.
You see, where you ask to come in, you don't barge your way in.
No.
And when we're polite and ask permission, what I'd like to ask you a personal question, then that's different.
Yes,
good point. And there's one thing we can do. We got to manage our expectations around its effectiveness, but we can call out a positive truth. I believe you're more valuable. We reflect that value back to them as friends, trying to help them see a truth about themselves, a positive truth about themselves that they can't see about themselves.
Yeah.
You deserve more. You deserve better, in my belief, you know.
Yeah. One of the things we talk about in Take Your Life Back is becoming a defender of your value. And when you just let anybody walk in, walk out, be unfaithful, you're not defending your value. You are just letting people walk all over you. It's horrible, horrible way to be.
As we say in the hood, nobody can ride your back unless it is bent. Stand tall and duck off the users and abusers. You got to stand tall first for you.
A lot of stuff you guys say in the hood, huh?
A lot of stuff we say in the hood, man.
I like it when you repeat it here. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. If you can help us, we'll send you Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend's new book, Growth Has No Boundaries. You can get through this pretty quickly. I love little books. Then I can say I read a book in 90 pages versus I've gotten to 350 out of a 500-page book. Anyway, Growth Has No Boundaries. They've taken the best stuff out of how we grow. Put it in here. I think you're really going to like it. Also, don't forget, this Saturday, Every Man's Battle. You could be a man of integrity. You could be a man of really a moral guy that stands up for what's right and just totally transform into a totally different guy. That's what we want for you. And then a week after that, 25th of July, Mylon and I do Intimacy and Marriage Intensive. And oh my goodness, is it ever powerful? Intimacy in Marriage Intensive. We take people that literally hate each other sometimes and get them back together. Other thing is, if you've got a pretty good marriage, we can, I think, help you go to a different level and be pretty great. 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out about all that. And if you don't need an intensive, but you're finally ready to take a look at some counseling, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we're going to help you with that. Counseling, it's not just for sick people. Sometimes you just want to grow to another level, want to develop some new insight into that soul and the things that prevent you from being the person you've always wanted to be. All right, you call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's the number to call. We'll be back right after this for more New Life Live.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and don't forget the virtual online event because of the COVID virus. Promise Keepers, July 31st, August 1st. I've got a panel I'm doing with some of our folks, and then also speaking there, and you just go to promisekeepers.com. That's it. Or promisekeepersevent.com, and it's right there, and you can join. It'll really inspire you. I've heard some of the other talks, and pretty amazing. promisekeepersevent.com. And if you're watching on Facebook, you saw the little thing right up there on the screen. If you need some help from us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let's go to Austin. He is calling us from Des Moines, Iowa. Listens online. Hey, Austin, how are you today? How could we help?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
Sure. What's going on? Yeah, we're all right.
Yeah. Good. My question is that some reason when I text people, specifically somebody that I'm interested in, that when I'm like waiting to get the text back, there's like a lot of like anxiousness there. And I think it may have something to do with my first relationship. I don't know, like maybe it stems from her, like I never knew if she really liked me or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I just like right now there's like somebody that I'm interested in and I'm waiting back for the text messages, and all the time it's always just pretty anxious while it's waiting, even though I think she does like me. And so I just was trying to get some input on what some ideas may be behind that.
Okay, how old are you?
I'm 25.
25. Ron, you want to start us off here?
Yeah, during that waiting time, what I would do, instead of focusing on does she like me, does she want me, I would advise that you write down some affirmations as you're waiting. I am worthy of love. I am a good guy. I am successful. I am happy. I am peaceful. You begin to affirm the positive rather than affirming the negative. And you will find that you will feel better about yourself. You'll feel more calm, more confident. So use that waiting time to build you up, to build up your self-esteem and yourself, because you are a great guy. You're young, you're handsome, you got a great future ahead of you, and you just accept that, man, and you affirm that about yourself as you're waiting, and you'll feel better about that time.
Yeah, I can't believe you could see all that through
that voice. I can hear it in his voice. He's dynamic.
You know, Austin, I'm just wondering if you have any men in your life to where you could get some affirmation Dad didn't provide, and then you wouldn't kind of rest on what a woman's opinion of you is. It wouldn't matter so much.
Yeah, great question. Yeah, before I even called this, I went ahead and talked to a friend a little bit. And yeah, I've been working on that, trying to, I guess, like, yeah, fully respect myself and then point out the good things in my life, which I think that's been making improvements there. But yeah, maybe there's some right time right now is to really focus.
But this shows how great you are. You know why? You picked up the phone to call to ask for. You know how many men don't do that? That's maturity, man. See, you're on the right track. Just keep affirming who you are. This is great stuff.
Yeah. Mylon, what do you think?
So here's the irony of all this. You ready, everybody?
Okay.
He calls us but texts her.
Ah.
See? Mm. And I never had this problem, Austin, when I was dating my wife, because texting wasn't invented then. You see, I had to call her.
Yeah.
I had to visit her. I had to see her. We didn't have a text. And so I think a lot of people live in a text world. And I would like to suggest to you that what you've done here, look at all the aliveness that you've created in Ron and Steve and Chris and me just by engaging with us. And I think you're missing one of your greatest assets, which is your voice and your personality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I ditch the texting and only use that if you're going to say I'm 15 minutes late. But the rest of the time, talk to her, visit.
And Austin, much of like what Steve was saying is that what is lacking inside of us, usually a sense of our value or worth or our need for love, especially as guys, we don't like to admit how much we need love, and yet we're craving it and bidding it all the time. And so what that does is it creates it puts tons of power or pressure in her. In her could be anyone, right? So if she responds well, then I'm alive. I'm okay. We find our security that way. If she rejects me, then I find my insecurity. And so what we're saying is take that back. don't put that pressure on her. Yeah. One, I guarantee you, whoever she is, she can't handle it anyways. But two, that's where building it up from the inside out. And then as you're approaching a relationship, you're looking for a person who can do life well with you, not fulfill all of the things that are lacking in you.
So was Dad a little lacking in your life there growing up?
He was working a lot, and so I'd say, like, yeah, he's an awesome dad. Yeah, like, he's amazing. I'd say we just never had, like, a lot of deep talks, so it was more of, like, me and my mom, I'd say. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I did find a mentor at my old church, and so I talked to him a lot, too. But, yeah, good. I'd say there wasn't a lot where I had those core values, I guess, and kind of like a life coach until later on in college.
Okay. Well, I tell you, I love what everybody said. I especially love what Mylon has said about let's stop the texting. What if she's kind of thinking, what is this guy just going to text all the time? What doesn't he?
No, I've called her before. Like, we talked, yeah, we talk a lot in person, and I prefer to call people up. And so I guess, yeah, we just have really been building the friendship the past 2 weeks. Seems like it's really picked up, like, long phone calls for 2 hours, then another one for 3 hours. And, like, she wanted me to, like, talk to her family. So, and then, but at the same time, yeah, some reason I have that anxiety before, like, giving her all the power. So when she's not texting me back, I'm like, does she like me? Does she not like me? And then it's like,
oh, yeah. So that blank, think of that as a blank space. And when you feel that blank space, you're filling it in with a bad story.
That's right.
Pay attention to the story you're telling yourself. As Ron was saying, you want to tell a different story.
And then when you do call her, develop that Barry White voice.
Okay.
You know, yeah.
There you go. Talking to you. All right. I'm really glad you called. I'm going to send you a copy of Every Man's Bible, best-selling men's Bible out there on the market. And it was number 4 best-selling Bibles this month, and I know you're going to like it. And you just, a lot of guys say, this got me reading the Bible when nothing else did. I'm going to send one to you. It's on the way. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. Here's what we could do for you. We could hook you up with a counselor in your area. We could provide a resource. We have all sorts of tip sheets that are free. We have books, resources that could change your life. I got to tell you, I said it when Mylon's here and when he isn't, but if you haven't read How We Love, it's just one of those books that could change everything. I think you ought to read More Than a Carpenter, Mere Christianity, and How We Love. Those are three big ones. Beyond that, I'm sure you might want to pick up a copy of Ron Archer's book, What Belief Can Do. You can order that by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And we love having Ron on. Ron, thanks for being here.
My joy.
Really enjoy having you here. But look, don't suffer alone. If you've got a problem with sexual integrity, just call us. Come to the workshop. If your marriage needs some help, come to Intimacy and Marriage Intensive. And if you've not had put on the Freshman 15, but the COVID-19, come to Lose It for Life, and we'll help you get that off and live in a different way where you never gain that weight again. If you can help us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, we've got $44,000 that needs to be matched, and you could do that today. Thank you, Mylon, Chris, Ron, all of you that watch, listen, and pray. We are grateful for you. We'll see you tomorrow. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help, or you could help us.
See, thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.